Any college football fans in the house? Anybody? Any Clemson Tiger fans? All right, Clemson has been a powerhouse for many years. Say what? You like Clemson? That's my son. Yeah, go Clemson. Clemson's been a powerhouse in college football for several years now. In 2016, it was no different. They were ranked number 2 going into the season, and they would go on to win the championship. They would beat Alabama that year. I think that was the first time they would come out and really be like, boom. And I might have my years wrong there, but bam. Clemson, big team. But early in that year, something happened that I want to remind us of. Now, I'm sure that none of the Clemson players from that year want to remember this, and specifically one specific player. They were playing against Troy University. And there was a guy, Ray McLeod, wide receiver, special teams recovery guy. He was a field goal return specialist or punt return specialist. He catches the ball. He makes an incredible run. He runs like 50 or 60 yards, I think. He's juking. He's dodging. He gets to one last defender, makes the guy miss, and he's got nothing but green in front of him all the way to the end zone. And he runs it all the way to the house, except something happened that happens all too often in football. Right as he was crossing the goal line, he dropped the ball. I'm talking like centimeters. It was so close that the people watching the game really didn't believe that it happened. And so the team goes crazy. The coaches are cheering. The crowd goes wild. The field goal unit comes out. It's as good as gold in the books. But the officials stop the game. They go to the review. You should have seen Ray McLeod. I went back and watched the footage this week on YouTube. And he was like, you know, in football, if you're a football fan, they never believe it. I never made a foul and I never did anything wrong. He's like, what? No, this is not true. The official comes back on the field and gives them the news that nobody wanted to hear. After review, it was determined that the player fumbled the ball prior to reaching the goal line. The defense recovered the ball in the end zone. The ruling is a touchback. First down, Troy. I got a picture of that. There it is. Look at that. So close. Now, here's the question. You would expect this in like peewee football. But this is one of the greatest football programs in the land right now, okay? Surely the guy knows. Run it all the way past the line before you drop the ball. He celebrated a little bit early. This much too early. But it's not just peewee, and it's not just college. It happens on the NFL professional level. There are million-dollar athletes who do this madness. You've seen the guys try to do a front flip into the end zone, and they drop the ball while they're in the air before they cross the goal line. Really good if we were in the Olympics for gymnastics. But the goal is to run the ball all the way in. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you dropped the ball? It's not just football. Now, we see athletes and we want to be hard on them and the fans want to be hard on them and the coaches are going to yell in their faces. But, man, like every day, right? Like when we're talking about the things we're supposed to accomplish in life and the things that we're going to do, you ever start that New Year's resolution in January? You go strong, January, February, maybe March, mid-March, April. What resolution? You drop the ball. You're supposed to be a certain kind of dad, a certain kind of mom, a certain kind of father, a certain kind of mother, a certain kind of husband or wife, a certain type of employee, and you had that good week, but then there was that day. You dropped the ball. Why not just keep running? Like, why is it so hard just to keep going? It's a phenomenon we see in so many areas of our life. And that's what I want to talk about today. We're in the final week of this teaching series called The Road. And the whole idea is to take a look at what it means for God to provide a path for us to come back to Him, to His grace, to His forgiveness. Last week, we kind of went over the entire, what we might call the plan of salvation. And we talked about all of the different elements that get us onto the road. But this week, I want to kind of use our road metaphor to talk about the rest of life. Because most of life isn't a big spiritual decision. Most of life is the normal, everyday, mundane, running the ball kind of stuff. It's waking up in the morning, it's eating your breakfast, and it's driving to work, and then you got to do your job. And then you take your lunch break, and while you're taking your lunch break, you pay your bills, and then you text some friends. You work on your hobbies. You work on your yard. You scroll on social media. You binge your favorite show on Netflix. You got to take your kids to practice. You got to pick your kids up from practice. Take a breath. Then you got to get your oil changed. You got to clean the bathroom. You got to do the laundry. You got to fold the laundry. You got to wash the dishes. You got to put the dishes away. You got to shop for groceries. Then you got to cook dinner. You got to eat dinner. You got to do dishes again. It never ends. Now, that's the majority of our road, isn't it? Isn't that what we spend most of our time doing? Just like the stuff, the normal stuff, the regular stuff. No wonder we drop the ball. We've got a full plate. Let alone, when am I supposed to do that stuff that they talk about at church? Like, when am I supposed to, like, read my Bible and pray, talk to my neighbors about Jesus, volunteer and do stuff? Like, when am I supposed to do that? Life is already full enough. So today's final lesson about the road is the same lesson that I think would keep many football players from dropping the ball. The lesson is, don't miss this lesson. I had an opportunity to meet with a guy, a well-known leader in the country, and he zoomed in with a couple of friends of mine. We were just looking for some leadership stuff, and he started talking, and he said, boys, this guy's, you know, I think he's like 60, and he's big time. He said, boys, I'm talking, and nobody's writing anything down. Are you even listening? And so I was like, dang, that's a good line, but I'm not that guy. I can't say that. But I will say, if you're not writing something down, or if you're not thinking, or if you're not like making a plan how you're going to apply this letter, like, I don't know why we listen. So write some of these things down today, because this is your everyday life. This is what you do. But this is the lesson, and this isn't like the big lesson, but it's clear. This is what would keep players from like dropping the ball before they walk into the goal line. This is what will help you do your life, you know, goals. This is it. Don't give up. Keep going. That's simple enough, right? Just carry the ball down the field and keep on going. When it comes to our relationship with God, there's a better word for this. And I want to give you the word for the day. The word is faithfulness. Isn't that a good description of just keep going? I didn't make this definition up. A friend of mine said it once and I loved it. What is faithfulness? It means keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. So grab a Bible, and we're going to be looking at a couple places today. We're going to be primarily in the book of Hebrews, hopping around a little bit. We're going to stop in Hebrews chapter 3 for a minute, in verse 1. Hebrews is a book in the New Testament, and it's a kind of cool book because it's addressed to the Hebrews, the Jewish people, and it's comparing the Christian faith to everything all of their ancestors did in their Jewish faith, and it really shows the bridge between the two. It's a really cool book. I plan on teaching through it all the way through the book of Hebrews next year. But Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 1. By the way, we got Bibles that we give away at the back of the room. You can go grab one if you want one just to use for the service, or you can take it home with you if you need a Bible. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, the writer says this, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in God's house. Remember, there's a lot of comparison in the book of Hebrews between the Jewish faith and the Christian faith. And so we're going to get to touch on Moses, who's one of the biggest, most respected, most emulatable people in the Old Testament. Any Jew would want to be just like Moses. He said Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house. Well, let me back up. Verse 3. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son of God over God's house. And we are in his house if we indeed hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Now, there's a lot there we could unpack. But what I want to focus on is this place of Jesus in God's house. This preeminent position as the ruler of the house. He's called in other places the King of Kings. He's been placed at the right hand of the Father. He's got this position of authority. And so just like we talked about 3 weeks ago, the reason that Jesus is the way, he is the road, is because God put him there and placed him in that position. And Hebrews 3 compares Jesus to Moses in this, where basically saying Jesus is greater than Moses. And as members of this household, we're called to be faithful. Now, he's going to quote from Psalm 95 there for a minute. If you're looking at your Bibles, you see what looks like a poem. But we skip to verse 12, and this really hits on what I think is our point today. Verse 12, Hebrews 3. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Translation. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. And faithfulness can be difficult because we've got a lot of, you know, balls to carry or plates to spin, pick your metaphor. We're doing a lot in our life, and it's easy for us to drop the ball. So what I want to do this morning in the time we have left, I really thought a lot about what does it mean to be faithful? And what I've come up with are four keys to staying faithful. I want to tell you this morning that if you're in a position where you haven't like chosen Jesus, like you're still here just figuring out what you want to do, these are great pieces of advice as you continue to seek more about him. And for a lot of you, probably the majority of you in the room and watching online, you have decided that you want to live for Jesus. So what does it mean to be faithful? Four keys to this. I'm going to give them all four to you real quick. Fix your eyes on Jesus, or just fix your eyes. Clear the path. Surround yourself with support. And don't stop. Fix your eyes. Clear the path. Surround yourself with support. And don't stop. I'm going to break down each one of these. The first one is that we need to fix our eyes. So the passage that we just looked at was Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It starts like this. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. And I love this mix of a metaphor because we talk about fixing your eyes. We're going to see that in a second. But your thoughts are a big part of that. You might remember the week we talked about repentance. Remember recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. It's all about what happens in our mind. The book of James teaches us that sin, actually the birthplace of sin, is in our mind. So the idea of fixing our thoughts on Jesus is crucial to getting our whole life rearranged around him. And if we want to stay faithful, we got to fix our eyes. We got to fix our thoughts. We got to have a focus. Hebrews chapter 12 is the place that says it a little more clearly. I love this passage. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It'll be on the screen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The idea of fixing my eyes on Jesus is like, he ran before me, he already went there, he did that. And I can follow him into the goal. It's a picture of a race, this passage. It says, run with perseverance. I want you to remember the word perseverance because that's another word for faithfulness. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And it says that he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And there's a lot of ways to break that down. But the way that I really see it is like he makes it possible for us to be faithful. Because we aren't in our own power strong enough to overcome sin or to have our own righteousness without the work that he did. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a second. But he authored this for us. And then he was a pioneer. He paved the way. So talking about the way, man, we're following in his footsteps. So that's the idea of fixing your eyes. And if you're running a race, you know that like if I'm running, especially a sprint, and I've got to get from point A to point B, and I'm looking up here into the stands to see if my mama's waving at me, I'm probably not going to win. Because the kid looking at the finish line is going to sprint his heart out because he's got a goal in mind. And if I'm looking behind me to see how far I've gone, it's a problem. And so fix your eyes. That's our first one. Faithfulness is hard. But if we can pick a point to focus on, something that gets us going in the morning, something that keeps us going throughout the day, something that as we refocus at the end of our day, we can set our eyes back on it. I love what the first passage said in chapter 3, fix our thoughts on Jesus. We can keep going. I think the reason that we drop the ball in life is because we're focused on 100 different things. Because when you're at work, you're focused on work. You know, I'm focused on being successful, or I'm focused on making money or making a reputation for myself. That's what I'm focused on at work. And then when I get home, I got to focus on being at home. I got to focus on being a dad or a husband or mowing the grass or taking care of things in the yard. I got to focus on, you know, the busted plumbing or whatever you're dealing with. Because when I'm at home, I'm focused on being at home. And when I'm with my friends, I'm focused on whatever that means. To focus on your friends, I'm focused on making them happy or making them laugh or keeping them satisfied or making myself seem cool. I want to challenge you this week because I try to think, what are we focused on when we're with our friends? That's a good question. I mean, why do we have friends? Like, I think it would be nice of us to think, I'm there to serve them. I'm there to make their life better. But is that why you have friends? That's just something for you to chew on. when I wrote that down this week, I was like, what do we focus on when we're with our friends? I think if you ask yourself that question, you'd probably be a better friend. But if we're looking at 3 or 5 or 10 different focus points all the time, I'm going to promise you something. You're going to drop the ball. Because you've got your mind divided too much. But it's possible to set your thoughts, fix your eyes on Jesus, and check this out. If he's my focus point, when I go to work, I'm doing all things. I love what Colossians 3 verse 17 says. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so we've got this concept of I can be at work, but do my work for the Lord. And so even if I don't hit my marks at work, I'm still doing my best to honor Jesus with my character. And when I'm successful, I give him the credit for it. Or when I'm at home, I'm leading my family to Christ. And so it gauges, like, what entertainment do we do together as a family? And how do we treat each other? And how do I speak to my wife? And how do I treat my kids? And what are my goals for them? What are my goal with my church, my family calendar? The shift to focus on Jesus suddenly lets me do my family different. Same thing with my friends. If everything I do is filtered through the eyes being focused on Jesus, I might choose different friends. Or I might act differently around them, like I said a minute ago. And so that's the first key to staying faithful. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Second key, clear the path. Now, when you hear me talk this out, you're going to be like, oh, that's probably the most important one. Because, like, I think we know intuitively, like, yeah, I should focus on God more. But the problem is there's all kinds of mess in the way. In football, the people who hold the ball get the most credit. Except for the center. He touches the ball more than anybody else, but he gets no credit. But everybody else, the quarterback, running backs, wide receiver, if you're not a football person, I'll just tell you this. They're the people who you hear about on, Sports Center. They score the points. They're the big movers and shakers. They get paid all the money. But ain't nobody running the ball unless somebody is there to block for them. The unsung heroes of football teams. Actually, if you're a true football fan, you really understand the value of a good offensive line or these players who come in and set up blocks. And a good block is the difference between a 60-yard run for a touchdown and the quarterback gets sacked. One good block can make that difference. Because what they're doing is they're clearing the way. They're making a path for the game to happen. You know why I drop the ball so often? Because there's so much junk in my way. I might have my eyes fixed on Jesus, but I'm tripping all over myself to get there. Sin, temptation, bad influences, poor planning, bad input, what I'm allowing to go into my eyes and through my ears, overloading my schedule. You can make your own list, but all this junk's in the way and it's all piled up and you got to set up some blocks. We've got to clear the path. We can see Jesus sitting over there all we want to, but if we're tripping all over ourselves and our own choices and our own schedules, and sometimes there's other things in the way, we can't get there. We're going to drop the ball. And the thing is, this isn't a game like football. This is your eternal soul that we're concerned about. And so we need to remember that it's not a game, it's a war. If we look in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, he reminds us, finally, be strong in the Lord. And in his mighty power, so put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You hear that? The devil's schemes. It ain't your wife that's getting on your nerves. It ain't your husband who never listens to you. It's not your boss who's a jerk. It's not the guy that cuts you off in traffic. Yes, those things are annoying and they are certainly tools of the spiritual forces against us. But these are the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. We got to clear the path. Now for starters, Jesus is the only true path clearer. We talked about him being the author and the perfecter. And I mentioned earlier, that's what the last couple of weeks have been about, especially week one. He came down and he made a path through sin. He defeated sin because it's something we can't handle. But listen, you are still capable of making choices. And your choices and my choices are often the problem. Earlier we read the second half of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It said, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. picture a runner with ropes tied around his feet. And that's how we run through life sometimes. We're like, man, I want to live for God, but you know what? I'm going to keep this addiction. I'm going to keep this bad idea. And I'm going to keep on looking at porn on the internet every night when nobody's paying attention. And I'm going to be a jerk when I'm with my friends at church. And my friends at work. And I'm going to have anger. And I'm going to carry those things along. It's like loading yourself down with weights and tying your feet together. And the author there in chapter 12, Hebrews 12, says you need to throw off everything that hinders and entangles. We got to get rid of that stuff. That's about clearing the way. Let me give you a couple examples that I've tried recently. I don't want to be a person who's going to say all this stuff, and I'm not trying it in my own life. Right now, if you were to get my cell phone, you would see that I have nothing on my cell phone right now that will allow me to connect with the internet net for entertainment purposes. It's a thing that recently I did because I found that I was spending way too much stuff just scrolling on social media. Like any question someone has, I'm like, let's look at Wikipedia. Let's know everything right now. I've got to know an answer right now. And all these things, I do have fantasy football on there because it's not a problem. But I promise it's not a problem. I can stop anytime I want. Okay? But I don't have anything. I don't have Instagram. I don't have Facebook. I don't have an app that connects to a web browser. I don't have anything to watch TV shows, Hulu or Netflix or Disney Plus, that we have sign-ins for all three of those things, right? So, but for me, I needed to throw off things that were entangling and getting in my way because I was like, man, I need to read my Bible more. I'm not spending enough time doing this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but I got time for all this other stuff. It's a practical example of what it means to clear the way. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm saying I'm right here in the trenches with everybody else trying to figure this out. There's a goal. There's a challenge for you. Here's another one. I have many times in my life been 8, 10, 20 episodes into a TV show that I was trying to binge. And the whole time I'm like, this isn't good for my soul. This isn't good for my soul. The language that they're using, the content of this thing, the things they're putting on the screen, it's not good for my soul. But man, it's so well made. The acting is fantastic. The score, I want to listen to the music. Whatever. And I'll be 8, 10, 20 episodes into it before I'm finally like, okay, it doesn't matter what happens on this TV show. I've got to stop feeding my brain with it. And I've turned it off. And I've got accountability partners that I've talked to say, listen, I know I was all on the show, but I need to tell you I'm not watching it anymore. I need you to hold me to that. Check me on that. It's a practical way of clearing the way. You set up blocks so that you can keep going. Now, so I want to leave you with a challenge this week, some homework. It's actually a new thing I want to get into as a church family. I want to create a culture where there's an expectation that all of us are going to do something after we hear a teaching, okay? That's just going to be a new culture that I'm going to try to be diligent about. And so each week, I'm going to do my best to nail it down to a thing. Okay, here's the thing this week. This week, my challenge is that you remove one thing from your life that is tripping you up in your ability to be faithful. One thing. Am I asking too much? One thing, what is it? You might need to write it down right now. You might need to ask the person sitting next to you. Because if we're not willing to remove just one thing from our life that's tripping us up, we're going to drop the ball. We're not going to live out the life that God has called us to, and we're not going to be the people that shines the light in this city the way that we say that we do. If we're not willing to do one thing, and it will create a domino effect in your life. What's that one thing? When you sit at lunch with your family this week, I want you to ask yourselves, what are you doing? When you're with your friends later this week, I want you to ask each other, what are you doing? What's the one thing I'm removing? One show that I'll stop watching, one place that I'll stop going, one habit that I'll give up. If those things are preventing you from being faithful, they're not worth it. We've got to clear the way. So we're going to fix our eyes. We're going to clear the way. The last two are going to be a little bit quicker. Because clearing the way is hard. The third one is we need to surround ourselves with support. None of us were created to do this alone. Remember the value of the blockers in the football game. No running back is going to get a 100-yard running game or more, a Derrick Henry crazy. I don't know, that dude just sees a monster. He might not need the rest of the football team, but every other person in the NFL, without their blockers, they're not going to run. And so we need an ensemble of people surrounding us to help us out. And if you're trying to do your faith by yourself, man, I'm going to tell you, I'm sad for you. And I hope that you will lean in and try to do what part you can to find some community to surround around you so that we can get through these things. Because we are going to drop the ball. We are going to have moments of weakness. And we need each other. In the first passage we read back in Hebrews chapter 3, I saw this little nugget of gold in verse 12. This is gold right here. Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So we need to see to it that we're getting away from sin, but we also need to be in each other's lives, encouraging each other. I love that it uses the word daily. It's really easy in our culture to think of church as weekly. But our walk with God has got to be daily. And so maybe you don't have that ensemble at work or at home. That means you're going to have to recruit from outside. You're going to have to find some people that can be in a text thread with you, or can give you a phone call, or that you can talk to. Often, we need each other. Later in Hebrews chapter 10, it also says this, verse 23. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. He's calling us to be faithful, but he's saying, listen, I'm going to keep going, okay? So even when you mess up, I want you to know, I'm going to keep going. He says, God speaking to us. Verse 24, it says, "Let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We need each other. We need to surround ourselves with support. You can't do this by yourself. You can't see your own blind spots. You need a friend. You can't be your own moral compass. You need accountability. Surround yourself. We just did a 5-week teaching series called Better Together. Maybe you remember that. And it was 5 weeks talking about this. Surround yourself. So maybe you need to go refresh yourself and listen to that series this week. It's on podcasts, on pretty much any podcast server. And we've got videos archived on YouTube. Spend some time understanding what does it mean to surround myself with people who are going to help me along the road. And so we're gonna fix our eyes. We're going to clear the way. We're going to surround ourselves with support. And the last one is this. Just keep going. Just keep going. In the movie Finding Nemo, we meet an adorable little creature named Dory, a blue fish. And she is absent-minded and she suffers from short-term memory loss. Her life's a wreck. She's a hot mess. She lost her family. She doesn't know where she lives. She can't remember anything more than about 30 seconds. But she's got some fantastic advice for faithfulness. You guys help me out. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. And I think that sounds a lot like just keep going. I mean, if we're going to make it, we got to just keep going. We can't just lay down and give up. And so this is where I think it's important. When we talk about faithfulness, listen to this. Faithfulness isn't about perfection. Faithfulness is about perseverance. Because you will drop the ball. When Ray McLeod dropped the ball before he crossed the line, the crowd was livid. His coaches were in his face screaming at him. His teammates were like, "Come on, bro, 2 more centimeters and we would have had 6 points on the board." And he could have sat down and saw the footage. He was, "Oh, I can't believe myself." But he could have given up, but he didn't give up on football. No, in fact, Clemson didn't give up that day either. They won the game. They went on to win the season. National champions. Ray Ray's playing in the NFL right now. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can't just give up after you drop the ball. You gotta pick yourself up and you gotta keep going. The mentor guy that I met with this week, he said, we were like, what's your secret to longevity? What do you keep doing? He said, milk the cows. And I was like, what? He said, I grew up on a farm. We milk cows every single day, 5:30 in the morning. We just kept milking the cows. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? He said, no, what I'm saying is no matter what happened, if it rained, if it snowed, we milked the cows. If we were tired, if we were sick, we had to milk the cows. If we didn't know what to do with our life, we still had to milk the cows because the cows needed milking. And in our life, guys, we got to keep going. Keep going. Pick up the ball. Use your ensemble. Clear the way. And praise God, we don't have to do it on our own power because Jesus is our salvation. That's faithfulness. If we give up on our walk with God after we fall down, we'll go nowhere. But if we can live in his grace, even at our lowest points, it's eternally significant. I think it's important to say that when you drop the ball, it doesn't have to be the end of your faith. In fact, when you drop the ball, it doesn't mean that you're not being faithful. Faithful comes when you pick it back up. Many times our failure can lead to our greatest moments of faith. And they could teach us our greatest lessons. Maybe you're feeling beat up this week because you were a bonehead and you did something you shouldn't have done or several things you can't stop. One, stop it. Clear the way. Two, pick up the ball, fix your eyes on Jesus, just keep going. I have a friend who was an alcoholic for years, and he became a Christian. He gave up drinking, and he's now a sponsor with AA. And great guy, great Christian man. He's given me lots of great words of wisdom. And but he said to me once, he told me it's something that happens a lot. He says a lot of the guys he's sponsoring, they'll be alcohol free for, you know, 90 days, and then they'll mess up. And they'll call him, and they're all sobbing. They're like, it's all over. I ruined it. I'm such a failure. I'll never get this thing up. And he'll say, failure? You're a failure? You went 90 days. That's fantastic. You were an alcoholic, and you went 90 days. You were 90-0. You were undefeated. And then you got beat. But even the best teams lose. You're not a failure. You're just 90-1. Now get back up and make it 91-1. And that advice was fantastic. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. When God gives us his grace, he picks us up in our mess. And he says, no, I didn't save you so that you could give up. I saved you so that you could keep going because the world needs to know about my love. And I want to be with you. God wants our worship. He wants our attention. He wants our focus. He wants our praise. He wants our faithfulness. Just keep going. Let's be faithful. Let me pray for us this morning.